This is a Dreamcast disc and is for use only on a Dreamcast unit. Playing this disc on a hi-fi or other audio equipment can cause serious damage to its speakers.
Dreamcast, up to 6 billion players.
Welcome back to the stage of history.
Why don't we play together?
Hey, it's time to make some crazy money. Are you ready? Here we go!
Please stop this disc now.
Hello and welcome to the Dreamcast Junkyard Dream Pod. This is episode 107, I believe, and I am James, for those of you that don't know, and I'm joined by two of the, I always call them the Dreamcast heavyweights, so I'm going to go with that again today. So first of all, we have Mike, Dreamcast collector extraordinaire, who's joining us live from his second of two houses, I believe, today, Mike.
Good afternoon. Yes, I'm in the summer house today.
In the summer house in the Maldives, yeah. Is it, mate?
Yes, yeah.
What Dreamcast games do you take over to the Maldives with you? Which ones have made the journey over?
Well, of course, this time in honour of yourself, I've taken the legendary Spirit of Speed 1937.
Oh, that's all you need then.
I mean, I'm still, you know, on the same track. It's a very long track and very boring game, but it's a very summery game.
Beautiful. And the other chap, you can probably hear sniggering away in the background. Some say he's a big deal in the Dreamcast community. I don't know if any of those people are here or listening, but anyway, it's some guy called Tom Charnock. Are you there, Tom?
Oh, big deal. Don't know about that.
Big deal.
Mate, you're right.
I'm good, mate. Tom,
I don't know about heavyweight. I think I'm about 10 stone.
Yeah, that is true. You are lighter than a feather. you did have a bit of a heavy session last night, though, from what I heard. What were you up to last night, Tom? Playing some old games?
I went to a place called Insanity Retro Gaming, which is like an arcade in Pool, where it's all everything set to free play, and you can just play all the old Sega arcade games, like Virtual Cop and Sega Rally, and they've even got a hang-on machine, but the handlebars were broken, so I couldn't play that. But I had one too many shandies, as you can probably tell from my voice. So I'll try and keep it together for this recording.
Try and keep it together.
I'm here in body, but not really in mind. So.
Well, we'll see how many of these games you could remember, shall we, as we go through the Sonic Adventure. Never heard of that one. So those of you who've read the title of this podcast will no doubt be aware that this is the first of our two scheduled top 200 Dreamcast game shows. We put out a poll a few months ago now for everyone to vote on their personal, was it top 10? Top 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
And then we behind the scenes counted up using some magic machine all the votes, and we came up with the official Dreamcast Junkyard top 200. It's been, what do we say, about 5 or 6 years since we last did this list, I believe.
Yeah, it was 2016, I think.
Yeah, it was.
So it was long overdue a refresh, and I thought rather than just chuck the updated list out there on the website, it would be a bit of good fun just to kind of talk through the list first of all, which will add some suspense hopefully as well, because we're only going to cover the last 100 today, so games numbered 200 to 101 we're going to go through today, and then obviously we'll have a follow-up show then, which will cover the top 100, and then obviously the pages on the website will be updated accordingly. It's been great. It's been great to see some new entries, some entries that have been kicked off, and everything in between, really. Some games not even getting a look in, some games getting potentially more points than you'd probably think they would, but all will be revealed very shortly. Before we dive into that, guys, we've got to start with the usual, what have we been playing? So, Tom, I'm going to come to you first. What's been on your games playlist this last couple of weeks?
Oh, quite a bit, to be honest. I am now the proud owner of a PlayStation 5, as I'm sure you're aware. I recently bought Gran Turismo 7. I've been playing through that. It's a very good game. Whether or not it's a better game than Forza Motorsport 7, I'm not entirely sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very visually appealing. And I love the triggers on the PS5 controller, the way it just kind of gives you a bit of resistance as you're going around corners, etc. So I've mainly been playing that on the PS5. On the Series X, I've been playing a game called Redout 2, which is a futuristic racing game in the vein of something like Wipeout or F-Zero. Very kind of, you know, all these tracks kind of flying around through the air. It's a bit like, do you remember Extreme G on the N64?
Yes.
A bit like that. So been enjoying that. And on the Dreamcast, I've been playing a game called Shadow Gangs, which is a new to the Dreamcast game. It's been out on the Xbox and Steam for a couple of years now. Recently brought to the Xbox, to the Dreamcast by Wave Game Studios. And that's a pretty fun. I hasten to call it a beat 'em up because you kind of use a lot of weapons, but it's basically you walk left to right and you kill baddies, and it's pretty good fun. So yeah, that's been my gaming recently.
Nice, Mike. How about you? Any oddities from the Dreamcast collection, or are you more mainstream for us this week?
Haven't actually played the modern jam consoles at all the last couple of months. Other stuff going on in my life, so it's been a couple of short playthroughs of indie games, a couple of other new indie releases recently. So Nape Games over in Spain have released the latest two indie releases, which is a game called Wrecknum. Be very careful with pronouncing that word. and Ployd, which are two sort of NES-style platform adventure games, which are pretty cool. And I've also been playing the bug-free or bug-fixed version of The Texassist, which was a game came out last year. Really high potential, really cool game, and it was crippled with awful bugs. But the re-release bug-free version plays superbly, so really enjoying that.
Did they call it the exercised version or something like that? Or
yeah, I think so. Yeah, I wish I had time to actually look at the cover of the case they gave me, but yeah, it's something like that. Yeah, it's a very fun game. Mind. It's just it's a shame that it was so poorly tested before.
That is a shame. That is a shame because it did look fun, and it did took them a little while to get it fixed, didn't it? From what I read somewhere.
Yeah, I think through about 9 months-ish. So a long time to sort of games sit on the shelves, which obviously for most Dreamcast collectors is a daily occurrence anyway, but
yeah.
A bit annoying when you're trying to play it. I suppose it's the first real indie game I think we've had, especially in the last few years, where we've had problems like that. So, you know, they fixed it eventually, which is all credit to them.
Good stuff. Just very quickly for me then, so I've been checking out the new PlayStation Plus premium subscription, as it is, just so I could get my my PS1 nostalgia fix. I know it's shocking to be talking about PS1 on a Dreamcast podcast.
Unless it's Bleemcast.
But it was really good to play Tekken 2 again and Ape Escape, which is a really great game. I also downloaded Siphon Filter because it was a great. I used to love that game when I was younger, but oh my god, it's a really hard game to play in sort of modern times. Yeah, like the controls take a lot of getting used to, because that was a game that was released with D-pad in mind as well, and no camera stick or anything, and it was it's still a great game, but yeah, hasn't aged particularly well. And also on the service is Returnal, which is a game that I was sort of thinking about playing on PS5 for a while. Not really my normal cup of tea, the way the game works, but they've just patched in a co-op mode, so been enjoying that, playing that with a mate of mine. So so yeah, that's been good fun. And Dreamcast wise, obviously doing my usual online gaming stuff with Worms and Tetris and things like that. But I finally got my copy of Postal from Wave. So yeah, just been enjoying. Just playing through that again, really, because it's been again. I played it back on the PC in what, when was it, 97, 98. I played a bit of the beta, obviously, or the alpha version when it came out for Dreamcast. But it's just nice to, again. I say it every time. Wave, you know, their production value on these cases is just brilliant, and it's just nice to play it on a proper printed disc with a nice instruction manual and everything else.
Yep.
So, I have been enjoying that. All right then, chaps, shall we dive in to the top 200. So just to recap then, we're going to cover the games which were rated 200 to 101 today. We're going to go through everyone, but we're not going to go into detail on everyone, obviously, otherwise this is going to be a six-hour podcast, and nobody's got time to listen to that. Before we do dive into the list, though, I thought it would be worth mentioning a few games which did receive votes from people, but didn't actually make it into the top 200. So in no particular order, that we've got a list here of games that, as I said, people voted for, but unfortunately not popular enough to make the list overall. And there were some surprises here. Stunt GP, Tom, I know that's one of your favourite. So, was that one you voted for? Did you expect that?
I definitely voted for that one, yeah. It's just a really good, late release for the Dreamcast, PAL exclusive. Really surprised that it didn't make it, because I believe Revolt did.
Yeah.
And I think that Stunt GP is a better game, personally. Bit framey at times, but it's mind-blowing, really, that it didn't make the top 200.
Yeah, Vigilante 8 is another one. Similar, I mean, again, not the best game ever, but certainly a popular one of back in the day. Sega Smash Pack, I thought, would get more votes, especially with the US contingent. You know, who were voting on this in this poll, I thought that might get some love. Virtua Cop 2, don't know if I was probably expecting more of that, but I know that made the list previously,
I think the thing about Virtua Cop 2 is that it was a Japanese exclusive, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, on the Dreamcast at least. So maybe it was just down to the fact that people just didn't know it existed.
It always seems crazy to me that was a Japanese exclusive, given the, you know, obviously light gun games were always few and far between on any console. Mm. But it was almost, if you released a half decent light gun game, it was almost a guaranteed seller for people that had a light gun, because you kind of wanted to justify your purchase a bit more, didn't you?
Yeah, it was on the Smash Pack, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
Yes, yeah, it was, yeah.
But it was a single release only in Japan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
A couple of others to point out here then. Tee Off Golf, that was another good game, I thought. Mm.
Probably the best golf game on the Dreamcast, that.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. A couple of indie games that didn't make the final cut as well in here, with things like Alice Dreams Tournament. There were a lot of indie games. You could, obviously, as we go through them in a second, there were a lot of indie games that made the top 200, which is great to see, including quite a few new entries as well. So we can't dwell on that one too much. But perhaps the biggest disappointment, guys, was South Park Chef's Love Shack. Didn't make the top 200. However, there were people that voted for South Park Chef's Love Shack.
So,
read into that what you will.
It's like a spoiled ballot, that, isn't it? It's like intentionally ruining your ballot paper.
I remember I was a huge South Park fan back in the day, and I remember playing that on PlayStation and just thinking, like, I really want to enjoy this, but there's just nothing to enjoy about this game. It was so disappointing. The other thing I put a note down here to say is that one fairly shocking thing, and again, I know these aren't the best games, but they do generally seem to have a fair nostalgic following and look back on quite fondly, is the Tomb Raider games. So the Tomb Raider games received zero votes, and that's Chronicles or what's the other one? Revelation. Yeah. So zero votes for either of those games, and looking at the list from 2016, I can see Chronicles was ranked 160, and Last Revelation was 144 in the list. So not even a single vote for either. Are you guys? Have we just moved on from Tomb Raider now? What's the deal there?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I was never a fan of those games anyway, personally. But for them to not get a single vote is just really, really bizarre. Personally, I think.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were particularly good ports, but
they've aged quite poorly, haven't they?
They have aged quite poorly, but I would say that, you know, certainly in the last, actually maybe in 2016, Lara would have been probably a bit more prominent in the gaming sphere, if you like, because the new reboots had sort of been out or just coming out around that time, weren't they? Whereas it's been a while since we had the last one now. And maybe I was quite surprised it didn't have any votes either, but I suppose
you know, Tomb Raider's never been that synonymous with Dreamcast. It's always been, for me anyway, more of a PlayStation thing, I think.
Yeah.
But still, I was quite surprised to see these games didn't get a single vote. Right then, drum roll as we move on to the top 200. Let's start at number 200. It's a game I think we should talk a little bit about because it is maybe one of the sort of the, I often refer to it as kind of a lost launch title because I'm not sure it gets talked about as much as it should. So coming in at number 200 then is Buggy Heat, or also known in American territories as, what is it,
TNN
Hardcore Heat. Yeah. Tom, I know this is one of your favourites, so I'm going to come to you on this one and to kind of kick us off. Give us the blurb on Buggy Heat then. Why is it, what is it, and why is it a good Dreamcast game?
Well, I think you've already touched on it slightly. I think every console launch needs a good, solid racing game. Buggy Heat isn't that for the Dreamcast, obviously, but it's a fun off-road arcade racer that kind of, when it was launched, looked like years ahead of anything else that was available on the market at the time. It also had some really interesting little features that I hadn't personally seen anywhere else before. So you've got things like the picture-in-picture camera mode, where you've got a little cut away in the bottom corner of the screen when you're in first person viewpoint. You've got this like kind of view of the driver's like hands and feet on the pedals, and I just thought, why is that there? Why is it there? But also, it's really, really nice to have such a weird little feature. Like, why did anyone think that was a good idea, taking up like a quarter of the screen?
Was it actually really what was happening as well? Like, was it, or was it just sort of fake going on? Or was it as you were turning? Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's a 3D, it's a polygonal representation of the driver's body in the steering wheel, doing all the movements, all the steering wheel, the gear stick, everything. It's just weird and it's warped and it's just bizarre. But yeah, it's just a really fun arcade racer. I mean, there's not a lot to it. There's not a lot of tracks, but you do have some nice features such as like changeable weather while you're racing, like sandstorms blowing, things like that. And just a really good first-person viewpoint, and just quite a lot of fun. Also, it does feature the best name for a vehicle in any racing game ever, which is Drank Schenker. I don't know what it means, but it's always stuck in my mind. It's just weird. It's just a weird game.
Didn't Buggy Heat have some sort of Forza driver, what they call Drivatar type AI as well? Wasn't there something around the AI for that?
Yeah, so you could train like, as you say, almost like a Drivatar with your VMU, and it would learn your driving style, and then you could basically train it almost like a Tamagotchi style thing to race at, like in your style. So it was a little bit before its time, really. I think Buggy Heat of all things, really, really fascinating game. And I think I've probably mentioned this loads of times on this podcast, but there is a really odd pre-release version of it that's floating around on the Dreamcast demo discs that were available to the Dreamcast Club. I can't remember what it's called now off the top of my head. But it's a completely different game. It's got completely different controls. It looks different. It plays differently. It's just a nice kind of curiosity in the whole sort of Buggy Heat pantheon, if you want to call it that.
Yeah. So yes, Buggy Heat. One to check out if you haven't checked it out. I think for a launch game, it definitely doesn't get enough people talking about it, but as Tom said, it is quite an enjoyable romp. From one racing game to another, 199 is the Dreamcast version of V-Rally, which I believe on Dreamcast was called Expert Edition, or obviously Test Drive V-Rally if you're from the States. Good game, but too much of a PS port on for this one, Mike, for it to be considered a classic Dreamcast game.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's not a game, again, synonymous with Dreamcast. I mean, we and Tom have spoken about it on our Rally podcast. Mm. And it's a good game. It's one of my favourite games on Dreamcast. I think I definitely voted for it. But it's you play it and it hasn't got the features that you'd expect from a Dreamcast game. It hasn't got that sort of sheen.
Fair enough. 198 then was Ultimate Fighting Championship, UFC. It always makes me laugh looking back at these games, given how popular UFC is now. And back in like 99, when UFC wasn't particularly popular, you had this little Dreamcast game, which I believe actually reviewed really well, didn't it, back in the day
as well.
Yeah. But I think, nobody really knew what UFC was back then, hence the, maybe didn't...
I think
Go ahead, Tom.
Sorry, James. The problem with the UFC game on the Dreamcast is that it's you go into it, if you've not got any knowledge of UFC or that kind of fighting, you go into it expecting almost like a Tekken-esque style fighting game, but it's not about that. It's very technical. It's about doing like